Welcome to our Bible study of the Gospel according to Matthew. Today is Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue the study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. All right, let us begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou art a loving, merciful, and such a forgiving God. Thy word tells us that there is none that seeketh after you, no, not one. We have all gone astray. We've all gone our own way. Father, we know by thy word that we are spiritually blind, but by thy grace you have called us and made us to will and to do of thy good pleasure. We thank you that you have given us the eyes to see. Father, we ask for the blessings again as we continue looking into thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see. We are we're going to be entering into Matthew 9:27, but we want to finish up on Numbers. I think the Numbers are going to go a lot quicker than I thought. Let's see where we're at with this. Because I think we don't have too many pages left. I think we are at number 10, so we'll start there and see once where we go, and then we'll get back into Matthew. Okay, so we looked at 7, and now we're looking at the number 10. And number 10, number 100, or thousands, is the completeness of whatever God has in view. That's the spiritual focus. You know, in some cases, of course, we look at the historical events, you know, God may use a number to give us a number of something, and it has some kind of a value on the historical side. And everything in the Bible, ultimately, God spoke without a parable, spake he not, the Bible tells us. And every step in Christ's life ultimately is a historical parable. We can draw a spiritual picture out of that. We'll look a little more at that when we finish with this Numbers. But let's look at this number 10. We read, for instance, in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 2, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Now we know that the 5 identifies either with judgment or with grace. And again, if we keep applying these conclusions concerning these numbers, we'll see the consistency. I haven't seen it break yet. So now the 10, of course, is the completeness of whatever God has in view. Concerning him bringing the word into this world. We read in Matthew 25, verses 24 through 30, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gatherest where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall he be given, and he shall have more abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, again, this picture of 10 is identifying with the completeness of whatever God has in view. So it's the completeness of whatever he gives to you. And of course, ultimately, to bring that gospel out. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 10. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doeth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there shall be joy. There is joy in presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Okay, again, the 10, bringing forth the completeness of God's work, the completeness of that which God has come to save. In this case, of course. Luke 17, 11 through 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show thyselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he saith unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I make note here that the faith that has made him whole is the faith of Jesus Christ. We always have to remember that he is our faith. It is his faith, from his faith to our faith, gives us our faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. So anyway, here's a picture of 10 cleansed. In other words, they were sanctified. It's a picture of the gospel message going out to the whole that God has in view. But then we only see one return of the 10, which shows that there's just a small remnant that actually does respond properly and does become born again. As God said, many are called, but few are chosen. 12. This is the fullness of whatever God has in view. Matthew 14:20, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. That number 5 is in view, and again showing us the mercy of God. You know, 5 wise, 5 foolish, 5 receiving the grace. But in any event, this is number 12, so God is bringing the fullness of what God has in view, which is the fullness of his word, to fill us up spiritually. Revelations 12, 1 and 2. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, that's the light of the gospel, and the moon under her feet, and that, of course, is the law of God, the Old Testament particularly. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Again, that brings us to the fullness. There's 12 in the Old Testament in the sense of the 12 tribes, 12 in the New Testament in the sense of the 12 disciples. Together it's 2 12s, which is 24, which brings us to another picture. But in any event, these 12 stars, and stars identify with believers, with people actually, because there are also wandering stars, those who claim to bring forth the gospel, but they are wandering stars. Now God refers to them as clouds without water. Water, of course, is the gospel. So, a lot of 12 stars in the midst of the street, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. And the river of life, of course, the river is identifying with the great river Euphrates particularly, but it is the river that brings forth the gospel. Out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water, the Bible tells us. We will bring forth that gospel to others. And the tree of life, of course, is Christ, which bear the 12 manners of fruits, and yielding her fruits every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So there are 12 manners of fruits. You know, we could go back into the Bible and look. I haven't looked at that deeply, but the fact that God is referring to 12 manner of fruits, and that may be very literally, but again, the fruits identify with the blessings of God, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the patience is a fruit. And so there are 12 particular fruits. But again, the number 12 is identifying with the fullness of what God has to give and give to us. And the yield and yield her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Okay, Revelations 21 through 12, verse 12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 messengers, or 12 angels, and the names written therein, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Again, the fullness of what God has in view. In this particular case, it's the fullness of what God has in view in the Old Testament. And but the 12 gates and the 12 messengers, or 12 angels, again, bringing back to the fullness. Revelations 21:14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And that identifies the New Testament, the fullness of God's plan in the new side, in the New Testament. Revelation 21:16. And a city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. By the way, that word reed is the same word pen. So he measures the city with the pen. And that's the penning of God's word, identifies with the word of God. So it, their city is measured by God's word. We are measured by God's word. And it's 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Revelation 21:21. And 12 gates. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And this picture of transparent glass identifies with the purity of the gospel that we read about in Revelation. And the pure gold, of course, identifies with the believers. We are tried in the fire as pure as gold. And as the more and more we're tried through that fire, the purer God is making us as the impurities come to the top and is then wiped off. 13. 13 is a hidden number in the Bible. I think we can say that pretty much almost, well, I don't know. I should look a little deeper on this. Everywhere we see the number 12, we see the number 13. I think that that's a true statement. But anyway, there are 13 tribes. Joshua 14:4. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save the cities to dwell in there, in with their suburbs, for their cattle and for their substance. Now whenever God lists out the tribes, if you pay attention to the names of the tribes, I think it's the tribe of Dan. Well, actually, no, it's the tribe of, let's see, I think it's Joseph. Joseph with two tribes, and Manasseh, yes, and Ephraim. Okay, so that's the one, that's the tribe that was broken into two. So there are actually 13 tribes, but God always only lists 12 at a time. So it's kind of a hidden number in the Bible. Not sure of the specifics about that, but it could identify with the idea of 12 being the fullness and Satan also coming amongst us. But that's I haven't really tested that. There are 13 apostles, same thing. You know, again, you know, on the New Testament side, you know, Paul himself calls himself an apostle. In Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, there are some groups of people who think that they're apostles. They have this thing going on, this idea and doctrine, and they call themselves an apostle. But there are only 13 apostles. The 12 apostles, who, of course, you know, we have Judas, who was lost, and then there was another one brought in, and then Paul being 13. But again, that hidden number. So the number 40 is a number of testing. We can see that all the time. In Mark chapter 1, verse 13, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. So there again, he's being tested or tempted 40 days. Number of testing. Exodus 24:18. And Moses went into the midst of the clouds and got him up into the mount. And Moses was on the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Exodus 16:35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. Manna identifies, of course, with the word of God. It's the manna from heaven. It's the bread of life. Ultimately, it's the word of God. It's Jesus Christ. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. Matthew 4:1-2. Then Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. We have Acts 7:22-30. And Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in the words and in deed. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffering wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. But he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee ruler and judge over us? Wilt thou kill me, as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at the saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of the Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord, in a flame of fire and a brush. Okay, there again is two sons. Remember, Abraham had two sons. Moses had two sons. And number two again. In Acts 7:35-36, This Moses whom thou refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the messenger which appeared to him, or the angel, in the brush. He brought them out after that he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. Okay, so just a quick review. Number two is identifying with the church, the corporate church, or the spiritual church. You could identify with the both together. Those who are coming under the hearing being sanctified, and those who have become under the hearing and became born again, a new heart created. Where disciples were sent out two by two, two possessed by the devils, two blind men, two fishers, two in the field, two thieves, two bastards, two olive trees, two prophets. Jesus called two brethren, Peter and Andrew. Jesus called two brethren, James and John. Two sparrows. Abraham had two sons. We just read Moses had two sons. Two grinding at the mill. Two ships. Two witnesses. Two candlesticks. Two wings. Again, that number two identifies with the church. Could be corporate or the spiritual, the true church of God, or collectively. The number three, God's purpose. There are three tabernacles. Built a temple in 3 days. There are three crosses, three watches, 3,000 souls, three angels yet to sound. The third tried as gold. 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth. After 3 days, I will rise again. The third hour, Christ crucified. Three loaves, the Trinity. Three woes, three gates. Number four, universality. 4,000, seven loaves. One of four. Lazarus dead 4 days. There were four angels, four beasts, four winds. The elect gathered. 4 months, then the harvest. Four corners, four anchors, four horns. Again, universality. Number five, grace or judgment. There were five wise, five loaves, five talents, five sparrows, five cities, five fallen. Five foolish, 5,000 men, 5 months. Five yoke of oxen, five porches. Again, grace or judgment. Number six, the number of man. Six things doeth the Lord hate. Two-thirds, 666. The number of the beast, 666. Six wings, six border pots of stone. Seven, number of perfection of what God has in view. There are seven spirits, seven baskets, seven devils. 7,000 not bowed to Baal. Seven churches, seven stars, seven seals, seven eyes, seven trumpets, seven heads, seven plagues, seven mountains. Seven loaves, forgiven 7 times 70. Seven men, honest report. 7 days, Jericho. Seven golden candlesticks, seven lamps, seven horns, seven angels, seven thunders, seven crowns, seven vials, and seven kings. The tens, hundred, thousand, completeness of what God has in view. 10 days, 10 horns, 10 men. 10 talents, 10 pieces of silver, 10 servants, 10 cities, 10 crowns. 10 times, 10,000 times, 10 virgins, 10 herd, 10 cleansed, 10 pounds, 10,000 saints, 10 kings. 12, the fullness of whatever God has in view. 12 years, an issue of blood, 12 disciples, 12 baskets full. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 hours in a day. 144,000, 12 times 12 times 1,000. 12 gates, 12 pearls. The damsel, 12 years old. Jesus, 12 years old. 12 thrones, 12 legions of angels. 12 patriots, patriarchs. 12 stars, 12 foundations, 12 fruits. 13, the hidden number in the Bible. 13 tribes, 13 apostles. 24, elders, 12 apostles. Plus 12 tribes, equal 24. 4 and 20 seats, 4 and 20 elders. 40, the number of testing. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Moses in the mount, 40 days and 40 nights. Christ, 40 days and nights, tempted and fasted. 40 days, flood upon the water, for flood, 40 days upon the earth. Israel wandered for 40 years. 40 days of Nineveh, overthrown. Okay, so the numbers have a heavy spiritual meaning, and it gives us a little bit of insight, particularly on the spiritual picture. But again, these words sometimes are used in a literal sense. A lot of things are used literally, like the historical events. Of course, there's also the moral teachings, and most importantly, the spiritual teaching. To be spiritually minded is life. To be carnally minded is death. To be fleshly minded. We're not to be focusing on the flesh, but on the spirit. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the numbers there. We've looked at all these numbers. And so whenever we come to a number, we're going to give it an application of some spiritual meaning, whatever number that might be. And we'll continue to see the consistency of God using that. And we're not going to go revisit these numbers over and over again, though. Okay, so that brings us to Matthew chapter 9. Let's read through this story here. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed. Let's just go back just a minute here. I want to see where what the story was before. Oh, okay, yeah, this was the 12 we saw. There was the damsel, and there was the woman with 12 years of emission of blood, which gave us the picture of the Old and New Testament. The fullness, what God has in view in the Old Testament through the woman with an issue of blood. And then we got the damsel, 12 years old, a picture of identifying with the New Testament believers, bringing it together. And so anyway, at that point, he then departs. And when Jesus departed thence, back to the number two, blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They saith unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he the eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man knoweth it. But when they were departed, spread abroad abroad his fame in all that country. Now, I know we've looked at this story. Maybe we're not in this particular story. This is a different story. But anyway, they departed, spread abroad his fame into all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casted out devils through the prince of the devils. Okay, so let's look a little bit at this. I'd like to make a few points here. You know, we got two things going on here. We have two blind men who become healed, and they receive faith. In other words, they receive Jesus Christ. So this too, according to your faith, be it unto you, this too gives us a picture of the true church of God, the church that God said he will build, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because again, according to your faith, be it unto you. And Jesus is their faith, and they receive their sight. Now the other thing here we're looking at is a dumb man, an individual who cannot speak, possessed, and he brings the point of being possessed with a devil. And we're going to look a little bit at that. It's used, I think, about 12 times in the Bible. God refers to a healing and possessed with a devil, you know. So we're going to look a little bit at that in a minute. And I've often thought about that, and I've heard lots of people talk about this, and recently I come to realize, I think, what this actually is really telling us and teaching us. Anybody who is not born again is possessed with the devil, because either you are Christ or you're none of his, and if you're none of his, you're part of the kingdom of Satan, because Satan is the prince and power of the air. He won this world over by reason of conquest. Christ took it back, of course, at the cross, where he defeated Satan at the cross. And the picture of Michael, the chief messenger, the arch-messenger, okay, who is Jesus Christ, crushes the head of Satan. And that, of course, happened at the cross. But this idea of being possessed with the devil, it dawned on me recently. You know, again, we're going to look at all the places in the Bible where God uses that phrase and what's taken place. I believe that we're going to find that it is always a situation where God is healing something, healing a blind, giving a person a withered hand to be able to have a hand to stretch forth and eat forth the tree of life. An individual with the palsy, he cannot stand and move, and he's able now to pick up his bed and walk, to walk with the Lord. Again, all these pictures of all these healings, always, he's given us a picture of the work of Christ. And if Christ came into this world just to heal people physically, then ultimately he miserably failed because they all died. But he didn't come in to give us eternal life or in this world. He came in to this world was the forgiveness of sin, the perfect life, sacrifice, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world in order that we would have eternal life in eternity in heaven, whatever heaven is. We don't know what exactly heaven is. But there's always that picture. And then it dawns on me, every time we see someone where God refers to as possessed with the devil, I believe God is telling us that these people are in the kingdom of heaven, and we're seeing a picture of them being healed and brought in into the God's kingdom. Again, to be received with sight, the ability to walk, the ability to reach forth. You've got so many spiritual pictures, and we're going to look at some of them shortly. Okay, so let's look first at the two blind men. We know that two is identifying particularly with the church. In this case, the faith that made them whole, be it unto you according to your faith. And their eyes were opened. They saw the truth. They understood. And they were being drawn because they were already given faith. You know, your faith hath made thee whole. According to your faith, be it unto you. But let's look at this blind, and again, every time we see some illness or some situation where God heals an individual, we can always see the spiritual picture on the other side of being blind physically in opposed to being blind spiritually. Being cured spiritually or physically, giving us the picture of being cured spiritually, to give them eyes to see. So the word blind, spiritual blindness. We read in John chapter 9, verse 1, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh, but no man can work. And that, of course, brings us to the time when the two witnesses are killed in the book of Revelation. But the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Of course, light gives us the ability to see. When he then thus spoke, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. Now, of course, you remember God created Adam and Eve from the clay. Adam from the clay and then Eve from his rib. Made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. Again, to wash is to be made clean with the gospel, to be baptized, to be watered and cleansed of God, of the gospel, to wash in the gospel, in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Okay, Matthew 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. They got the spiritual sight. The lame walk. They can now walk with God. The lepers are clean. I've made you clean. Leprosy identifies with our sin-sick souls. And the deaf hear. We can now hear and respond to God's word. The dead was raised up, creating me a new heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. You put off the old man, and we're risen with the new. We died and buried with Christ in his baptism, spiritually speaking, and then raised up. And the poor, poor in spirit, have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partners or partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lusts. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give the diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For it is in this fashion an entrance. Word so means in this fashion. For it is in this fashion. What fashion? Well, the idea of escaping the corruption in the world through lust, giving all diligence, adding to the faith virtue, to the virtue knowledge, to the knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Because if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is in this fashion as entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here is the thing. This is information that God has given us when you come to these verses to really understand what God is saying here, to have the knowledge and the surety of your salvation. Because if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of God. We grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is Christ. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. We be begotten Him, behold Him, in the person of Jesus Christ. We're told to handle the Word, which is to handle Christ, to come to the knowledge and to receive the knowledge and the blessings from Christ. Okay, this is, I think, Revelation. I'm not sure I missed the verses here. Is this Revelation? No, this sounds like it's something from Luke, maybe. Let me take a quick look. So I missed the chapter and the verse, but in any event, it's 14 of, I think, Luke. I'm not sure what chapter. No, as a matter of fact, reading the beginning of this, I'm starting to see now, this is a picture of Revelation. Yeah, this is a picture of Revelation, one of the messages to the seven churches. This is onto the angel, the messenger, which is that angel, of course, is the Holy Spirit. It's the messenger of the church. There's seven churches, seven messengers, but it's really the perfection of God, what God has in view. It is true that there were literally seven churches, but they represent the completeness or the perfection of God's work in His churches, even though they are lost, because they're no longer there. They've gone apostate, as many churches have throughout the New Testament, and God always raises up others. So on to the messenger of the church of Laodiceans write. And again, there are not seven spirits. There are not seven messengers. There's only one. And that's the Holy Spirit. There's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in the Godhead, one God. So unto the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will sprue thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. You know, when you think about the many people in the churches, and again, many are called, but few are chosen. The churches have always been filled with people who are unsaved, but they're being sanctified. They're under the hearing. They're receiving the gospel. And out of that, Jacob becomes Israel. So they, again, many of them will become born again, will become part of the body of Christ. But nevertheless, there's that picture of people that mimicked what the body of Christ is bringing forth, which is the gospel. As long as the body of Christ is in that church, there is life. But when that body, spirit leaves, when the body of Christ leaves, the Holy Spirit leaves, that church is dead. And this is what's in view. Those that are in the church and have not become born again, and probably a picture of those who will never become born again. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increaseth with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, gospel now is given, the offer of salvation, the offer of the forgiveness of sins. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. White is a picture of purity. A raiment identifies with the covering. And usually a raiment identifies with the corporate church itself. But to be white, to be covered, you know, though the body of Christ is covered with white raiment because we're covered with the gospel, we're covered with Christ, the Holy Spirit, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, we just read about that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. In whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, the Bible teaches us. Sometimes we have a really bad day, and when we really are working things out, and we're realizing, you know, but we have to turn away from whatever it is, and God is chastening us. He's correcting us. And if he's not correcting us, and if you're not being corrected by God from time to time, some of us more often than others, nevertheless, then you need to reconsider and get back into your Bibles. which you should be anyway. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And that's the key. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, give me the ears to hear, and open the door, I will come in him, into him, and will sup. Bring forth the word of God. Bring the bread of life. And he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. You know, we already see, those of us who have become born again already are seating with Christ on the throne. We are seating in our hearts. Greater is he, Christ, the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we are ruling and reigning with Christ, ruling and reigning over our bodies, over the flesh. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, and many people do not hear that voice. I mean, I talk to people sometimes, and I give them a good message because the conversation calls for it, but it goes right past them. They don't hear the voice. God's opening a door for them, and they're not hearing. I will come unto him if you hear my voice, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath the ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed, or a bruised branch, shall he not break, and a smoking flax, which is the wick of a candle. And of course, that wick lights with the gospel. Those smoking flax is where a light has gone out, but there's just a little sparkle. There's a little oil still left, and it becomes a smoking flax that God says is not going to quench. We read about this in one of the Gospels, well, maybe probably a couple of Gospels, and we may even pick this up in Matthew, but this reference to the smoking flax, and a bruised reed he shall not break. Flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord, so thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretcheth them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prisons, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am Jehovah, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you to them, sing unto the Lord a new song. That's the gospel message, the new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praises from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, into the world, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, the mountains, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the village that Kedar doeth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. And of course, Christ is the rock that we sing about. And we shout that from the mountaintops. We go into our Bibles. Every time you open your Bible, you're on the mountaintop. Every time you're talking to the Lord, you're on the mountaintop. Let them give glory unto the Lord, unto Jehovah, and declare his praises in the islands, in the mountains that come up out of the sea. Remember, we started off with the picture of them that go down to the sea, and then we come to an island, which is a mountain in the sea, and that's the high place. That's the place where we meet with God. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar, like a roaring lion. The lion of Judah, not as a lion seeking whom he may devour. That's a picture of Satan, the other flip side of that coin. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have given still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. And he's bringing forth the birth like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all the herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And of course, that's the judgment coming down upon the world, particularly starting in the church. It's a judgment upon the corporate bodies that have gone astray, that have killed the witnesses. The spirit has become dead. They become a dead carcass. And he calls forth the fowls of the heavens to come and have a supper feast. I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Of course, it's bringing the gospel. Always that gospel message. You know, God has a lot of cursing going on that he's doing upon this earth. A lot of judgment, a lot of horrible language that we really don't want to hear. But we know we deserve. But he's always bringing that gospel in between these messages, you know. I will make the darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf and look ye blind that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as Jehovah's servants? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. And remember, God came down in to free those in prison. A lot of people think that he went down into hell to do that, but really, he came down into this world to do this. I think these are some verses that help to prove that point. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. And they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth. For a spoil, and none saith restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil? Now remember, Jacob is a picture of an individual unsaved, but Jacob, of course, becomes saved, and God changes his name to Israel, and we're all Jacobs before we become born again. Who gave Jacob for a spoil? This is God's people that have not yet to become saved, and Israel to the robbers. And the Israel identifying with the body of Christ in this case, and is identifying that we've been robbed because they take over the houses in certain cases, especially during the great apostasia. And did not the Lord... He against them, we have sinned. For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient on his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Okay, the blind, again, is a picture of being spiritually blind, ultimately, and God comes and cures that spiritual blindness. That's the blindness when he cures these diseases, okay, which again, we see the spiritual picture of what the real healing is all about. Those don't fall away. They go off into eternity in the sense that he heals us eternally. We become born again. Okay, let's look at... the dumb man. Okay. To speak or to preach To speak is to bring God's word to the lost. And when God cures the dumb man, we then now go bear witness to Christ. Go ye into the world, you know, teach the gospel. Whatever it is that God gifted you with, whatever that might be. And sometimes the witness is a very simple witness. And sometimes, of course, you know, you have the teachers and preachers, and, you know, they cannot speak. They're dumb, spiritually speaking. You know, literally we can speak, but spiritually we can't bring the gospel until God gives us the ability to hear. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And remember, the oil is the gospel in our lamps, and it brings a joy. But it also brings us to mourning, because we mourn for the lost. We bring the gospel, a desire for them to become born again. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Now again, there's a picture of trees identifying with men. And the garment in this case is identifying particularly with the covering. And the covering in this case is the corporate church. That they may be called trees of righteousness. Men of righteousness, right? Christ is our righteousness, men of Christ, men of God, the planting of Jehovah, that he may be glorified. Now, we read about this Isaiah 61 in Luke 4, verse 14, we'll start off, where we read, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And that's Isaiah 61. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. Now, why were the eyes of everyone fastened upon him? It's because of the way he delivered that message to them. And he began to say, Christ began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious word which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do so also here in thy country. And he said, truly I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Isaiah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. Now that 3 years and 6 months is an interesting picture. First of all, you know, 3 years is 12, 24, 36 plus 6 is 42. That number 42 is a big thing in Revelation. And it also is, I believe, literally, I know the ministry of Christ was 3.5 years. Not sure how that ties in here, but just wanted to make that point. Heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. Of course, when he came, he opened it up. When great famine was throughout all the land, he brought the bread of life, he brought the water. But unto none of them was Isaiah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophets. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, Syrian. Now, we read about that particular individual when Christ heals. I think we went through this already. If not, I'm pretty sure we will be coming up, where he tells this one leper to go to the priest and offer that which is offered in the day that the leopard is cleansed, which is referred to from the Old Testament, which is a fulfillment of prophecy, of course. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him onto the brow of the hill wherein the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Okay, Matthew 4, chapter 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Nephilim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Nephilim, by the way of the sea, behold, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadows of death, light is sprung up." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jonah, chapter 3, verse 1. And the words of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. Now, interesting picture, you know, this of course is, he's already been swallowed by the whale and he's been spit out onto the land, and that's pretty much what we're picking up in chapter 3. So Nineveh was 3 days' journey. Now that number 3, it brings us to the purpose of God, which is very interesting. On the one hand, also number 3 also brings us to the end of the world, and number 3 identifies with that, which again brings us to the purpose of God to bring judgment in this world. Okay, and he cried and said, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, the number of testing, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, identifying with the gospel, put on sackcloth, identifying with the humility, with the humbleness, with repentance, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth. He was repenting, being humbled, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let men and beasts be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Okay, this is just the last one. Yeah, this is the last one, looks like. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, and brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him, that's the Lord. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, now this is Sunday, you know, there are people who think that Saturday is still the Sabbath day, but God, this is a verse that teaches us, because it really at the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn towards the first of the Sabbath. That's the language in, I believe, all four Gospels, which means the end of the Sabbath, the Old Testament Sabbath, now the beginning of the New Testament Sabbath. You know, it's when Mary came to the tomb. Okay, and they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us?" Well, let me back off. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. There's that right side again. Christ is seated on the right hand of God. There is that young man, it's Christ, sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, covered with righteousness. White is purity. And they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified? He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, and he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. And as he said unto you, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. For they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early of the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they went, and they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto the two of them, as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterwards he appeared unto the leaven, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, baptized by the Holy Spirit, that is, shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. If we preach the gospels, they become spiritually healed of their whatever problem, you know, they give them blindness, ability to walk, so on and so forth. Well, that's because the gospels, they're casting out devils. They're becoming now part of the kingdom of God. They shall speak with new tongues. The bringing forth of the gospel is a new language. Tongues is a language, and we're bringing the gospel. Thus saith the Lord. They shall take up serpents, that's a devil, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. We can hear a false gospel. We can hear the poisonous gospel, and it will not hurt us. We could be bitten of serpents by false gospels, and it will not injure us. They shall lay hands on the sick, those with sick souls, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Okay, so this idea of the mute or the dumb being able to speak, it is identifying with to speak, to bring forth God's word, to preach God's word, to witness of God's word. Okay, looks like we've come to the end of our time here. We're going to pick up when we come back, and we're going to look at this picture of being possessed with devils. Okay, and then we'll move on to Matthew 9, verse 35 after that next week. Okay, until then, we'll see you then, Lord willing. Good night, everybody.
Good night.